money and markets, there's one story this week that is coming through in story after story, and yet many of us look at those stories as being different stories, and they're not. They're one story, and I want to connect the dots and have you view them and be able to view them, because it's an evolving story. We're going to be watching this story for 5 to 10 years. And it's the story of the shift in global governance out of sovereign nation governments and into, and sovereign municipal governments too, and into corporations. And so we're watching a huge reengineering happen. One of my most popular blog posts is Financial Coup d'etat. If you do a search for it, you'll pick it up quickly, either on the blog or in any search engine. Just put financial coup d'etat or put that plus my name. And if you haven't read, I would recommend it. It's the story of me sitting in an investment conference in London and listening to a series of presentations, including my own, and realizing, oh my God, the same process of shifting assets out of government into private hands, often at below market prices, and shifting liabilities back in, also not with just compensation to the government. It's happening everywhere. And if you look at the model, it's the same investors. It's the same players over and over again. It's the same law firms. And realizing this was a global phenomena, a global model. If you haven't listened to John Rappaport, the interview I did with him earlier this month, it was really terrific, because he gives you a sense of how organic and emergent the model is. And so it's a combination of one model with similar players, but it's emergent and organic and growing globally. And you'll sometimes hear me refer to it as piratization. The piratization story, or as Naomi Klein would call the shock doctrine story, starts with Greece. We continue to see tremendous amount of headlines about the spiral down in the economy in Greece, and we're watching a process where essentially what Greece needs, excuse me, I'm still getting over this cold. What Greece needs is it needs to do a currency devaluation, but it can't. It's locked into the euro. And so we see a terrible downward spiral that won't let the market adjust, a terrible deflation, and it's one that's very wealth-destroying for no purpose other than it makes it much easier to re-engineer control and assets strip the place. It's really a hit or an invasion by, you know, rather than sending the military, you engineer it through the financial system. And I've said many times before, what we don't have a financial crisis. We have a political re-engineering, and that's what you're watching. And, of course, it's very, very destructive to wealth and on the ground. Another story we see is clearly the danger. You know, I'm always laughing when you see people who are terribly afraid of the government. The problem in these kinds of situations, if you study what happened in Russia, if you study what happened in Argentina, if you study what happened in Eastern Europe, if you study this process, which has been, sort of rolling implosions globally in country after country, and now it's reaching Europe and starting with the pigs, is that your and my real problem, everyday problem, will more often be ordinary crime that occurs as people are desperate in a kind of economic implosion. And it's instructive to watch the stories of what's happening to the sort of person, whether it's a tiny village or in the middle of Athens, and what they're struggling with just to manage day to day. The numbers of bankruptcies of small business are off the charts, and of course people who thought they had strong retirement packages are discovering that in fact they're not. Now, let's turn to a story that was up on the blog. It's from Mother Jones about what's going on in Michigan. I'm just going to read you a little bit of it. We covered last year the passage of what's called, it's now called Public Act 4. It's a recent law that the new governor put in place. Let me just read you from Mother Jones again up on the blog. When the city of Pontiac, Michigan shut down its fire department last Christmas Eve, City Councilman Kermit Williams learned about it in the morning paper. "Nobody reports to me anymore," Williams says. "It just gets reported in the press." This was just the latest in a series of radical changes in the city, where elected officials such as Williams have been replaced by a single person with unprecedented control over the city's operation and budget. Governor Rick Snyder put Louis Schimmel in charge of Pontiac last September, invoking Public Act 4, a recent law that lets the governor name appointees to take over financially troubled cities and enact drastic austerity measures. Under the law passed last March, these emergency managers can nullify labor contracts, privatize public services, sell off city property, and even dismiss elected officials. For a minute, I don't believe that it's constitutional, but where is anybody in Pontiac going to get the resources to take that case all the way up to the Supreme Court, which is part of the problem you have, particularly when these things happen initially. There continues to be, and I continue to beat this drum, one of the articles I posted up on the blog was another hit piece, this time by a Harvard law professor, on how stupid and out of date the Constitution was. And the Michigan story is a reminder of what could happen if, in fact, we do get changes in the Constitution that could make it really easy for this movement to drive a truck through the legal niceties that the courts and popular consensus still use to sort of slow this down and stop it. But it's worth reading that Mother Jones story because it's a chilling reminder of what happens if you let your town or municipality not keep its fiscal house in order. I live in a tiny town in Tennessee that has reserves of more than 10 times its annual overhead, and I assure you that's, as you've heard me say before, our mayor and city council get together once a month, and what they do is pay the bills because there's no staff, and they argue over every bill and every penny. It's quite extraordinary, and that's, I think, what it's going to take to sort of keep control at the local level. As I said before, don't worry about the presidential election this cycle. Pay a great deal of attention to the local election because that's where the war is going to come to the world that really affects you. And it's very, very important to have the right people in charge, the right sheriff if you can get them, and to make sure that you can do everything you can to help the make sure you have excellent people and excellent governance locally, because if you lose control, you're going to find yourself in the same position as Pontiac, Michigan. Another story from Raw Story up on the blog about prisons. The largest prison private prison company, Corrections Corporation of America, has sent a letter to 48 states offering to manage their prisons for the low price of $250 million per year, according to a letter obtained by the Huffington Post. What they want for that is a guarantee of 90% occupancy rate, which means they're proposing a model that requires the states to keep the prisons full, a very chilling thought. Again, it's a model issue that I covered in my story, Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Stock Profits. I recommend it to you if you haven't read it. But what we're watching, whether in the Greek story, the Michigan story, or the prison story, is literally the private sector is tendering for the public sector and financing it by asset stripping, unloading liabilities, and abrogating retirement arrangements. And this is a dynamic that has been building for decades, and it's got a lot of strength behind it. So think of this as a wave, and it's going to come through all of our lives, and it's absolutely critically important that each one of us think about how we can bob and weave in this world and not get run over by this dynamic.